Yes, it's 23 and a half minutes past 11 o'clock on a Wednesday, and you have no idea how much I've been looking forward to this next chat with Dave Gusselli. Now, you know Dave Gusselli, or you think you do, because he's been on radio for, well...
a million years.
A little while. But do you know Dave Gusselli? And this is the point. I'm hoping that after this chat, we're going to know him a little bit better. Welcome, Dave. Nice to be chatting to you on the air.
Sure. Good to see you, and thank you for having me.
Now, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say you have been on air for a while.
I can tell you, 1980. I mean, that's 45 years, Dave.
You see, I said over 30 years when I was doing a bit of an intro earlier in the show.
It's so a whole person.
45 years you've been on radio.
Sure. Sure, and still am, obviously.
And, I mean, over that period of time, you must have seen incredible change on the airwaves. And you've met some really interesting people, and you have had a really interesting career. But so let's go back and explore from the get-go. Did you always want to be a DJ, a presenter, a radio voice?
I think I did. I mean, my career started in nightclubs. You know, I was 15 years old, shouldn't have been allowed in the nightclub that I DJed in because they thought I was 18 plus. And yeah, that's where it started. I love music, always have, like you, just love music. And I stole the job of the DJ in the nightclub because he'd say to me, "Dave, take over for 10 minutes, I'll be back." I know where he was going. You know, there was, yeah, you know as well. So
where was he going?
There was plenty of nice ladies on the ship. It was called the North Westward Ho. It was a floating ship. But anyway.
And I want to talk about that for a second. There are plenty of nice ladies. And this is very much part of the DJ ethos, isn't it, really? You think about it.
It was.
I mean, it's like a lot of... one of the reasons I got into music, playing live music, was because when you became extremely popular, even if you were not the best-looking guy in the room, when you got up and started dominating the scene with the, you know, you have a microphone, you're talking, you're singing, and you become quite attractive. Have you always found that you've become, that you've been attractive to people?
I don't know about now, but I mean in the day, yes, because it's all changed, Dave. I mean, you know, you were a huge celebrity on Five, Radio Five, and we were showmen. And people looked up to you, and they couldn't get maybe closest to their, you know, the nearest pop star.
Yeah.
But so it was the radio DJ was next.
And it's interesting in
South
Africa.
You were a big star, you know, according to them.
Well, in South Africa, we were very lucky that because there was so little in terms of entertainment, even though we were on radio, and there wasn't, television came much later. Well, not much later, but, you know, South Africa got television in 76, which is, so the radio voices became exposed also in print and then later on television, so people recognized you.
Yes.
And this is something that you must have dealt with tremendously because, well, let's put it this way. You were very iconic. You had an
Thank
image.
You. Thank you.
You did. I mean, it's fair to say you were a good-looking... of course. But you were a good-looking dude, and you had the hair and the face and the body.
Yep.
In the early days, this is now before woke culture popped in and said, "You can't do that." You must have had an absolute blast, especially in the Capital Radio days.
I was going to talk about that. I mean, yes, I mean, I did. And my boss in the day, and you know him very well, was Stuart Lee from Famous Faces. And he squashed me one day. He brought me in and my ego got flattened. He says, "Dave, you're as good as your last show." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He says, "You're as good as your last set of figures." He says, "Let's lose the ego." And I did. And radio became something for me that if I could give back, it was very special. I'll give you a quick example. In 1984, there was a young girl who had brain cancer, a tumor. And there was nobody in this country, apparently, at the time who was qualified enough to go inside her skull and remove the tumor. So we set on a mission to raise money for this young girl. We raised 350,000 rand, Dave. Now, in those days...
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. We sent her to America. There was a surgeon in Atlanta, Georgia. She had the operation. She came back. I get gooses because to this day, we are still in touch. Wow. And that that was what radio for me was all about. And I stayed on that path. I really did. Because of what we did. And said, you know what, we could do that again if needs be. But the fame thing, Dave, just to interject, we did an outside broadcast once. Do you remember the Killarney Hotel?
Yeah.
In Durham?
Yeah.
Okay. Club Med, you know, that where they searched you for weapons at the door. If you didn't have one, they gave you one. Do you know what I mean? It was a rough play. But anyway, our outside broadcast was it was called the Capital Showmobile. It was a caravan. And we were there on the corner outside Checkers doing a gig. And 3,000 people, Dave, blocked the streets of Durban. And the police didn't know what to do. They had to close all the roads. And that's what I was talking about, the early days of people getting close to a celebrity. Yeah. It was scary. They were pushing their faces against the window and people wanted to come in. And we spent about, I say, 2 hours afterwards signing autographs. It was a weird thing.
How did you deal with that? Because it is, you know, a lot of folk tend to think how lovely to be in the public eye and to get all the attention, and I suppose it is, but there's also, you just don't have any personal time. You could never go to a restaurant or the cinema and just quietly enjoy an evening out, because how did you deal with that?
I did better in those days than I do now, because it sounds a bit big-headed, you know I'm not, but it still happens now, but not to the extent that it did in those days. So I handled it well. The only thing I didn't like, and I'll give you the example, my wife and I were at the Wild Coast Sun for a couple of days. Oh, I did a gig there, in fact. And we were having dinner. Do you know the Wild Coast Sun?
Yeah.
A big restaurant downstairs, and a buffet and stuff. So we'd had a bit of a ding-dong. We had a bit of a fight. You know?
You and your wife?
Yes, there's the thing.
Oh, no.
Like, that's never happened. And we sat down at the table. So we're having words, not loud, obviously, but we were just sorting things out.
Throwing things at each other.
Exactly, yeah. Take this knife. And a gentleman came up to the table. And I don't mind if somebody in those days had said, Dave Caselli, oh, love what you do on the radio, blah, 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 and disappeared. He pulled a chair up, Dave, and joined us at the table. Do you know what I mean?
Wow.
And wanted to be part of the whole conversation. And, you know, you don't want to be rude because it's PR as well. And it's somebody who really loved, you know, me and the station. But eventually, you know, it's that kind of stuff I just couldn't deal with.
Yeah.
And my missus hated it every second of it.
Surely, I was going to say, it's very tough on the partners.
They ignored her, you see. Yeah. They didn't want to know who she was. Yeah.
And I fell for her. Your missus was very well known in the entertainment. We'll get into that in just a sec, but yeah. I think we would maybe just interject for a second with one of your popular tunes, the song that you've given me a couple of tunes that mean something to you. What does Al Green's Let's Stay Together mean for you?
A lot. Let's have a listen.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right with me. 'Cause you make me feel so brand new. And I want to spend my life. Say, sing, oh baby, since we've been together, ooh, loving you forever is what I need. Let me be the one you come running to. Be untrue. Oh, baby, let's stay together, loving you weather, times are good or bad, happy or sad. just came to see. You'd never do that to me,
would you, babe?
Being around you is all I see.
One of Dave Gazzelli's favourite tunes. Gorgeous.
Do you know, I think I'm a black man in a white man's body. I do, because I grew up with R&B, and I love that kind of stuff. Barry White and Al Green and those kind of guys.
Very, very cool.
That's my music. I know yours is more rock orientated than me.
Yeah, look, a good tune is a good tune. Don't you find that, especially having been on air for as long as we have, there are certain songs that will always be brand new. And if you play them, it doesn't matter how many years have gone by. They're still meaningful. They 100%. Still bring back huge amount of memory and joy, and you know, maybe some of the kind of emotions that you don't get from photographs.
This is why, in most cases, I really despise people who do cover versions of songs. When it comes to classics, for me, Dave, leave them alone.
Oh,
don't touch it.
Oh,
I don't know.
Ooh, okay. Well, now you've just alienated every working musician in the country. Yeah. Talking about which, I was going to say, your wife Cindy Dickinson was a huge artist in was it the 80s?
Yeah, when we came here in 1979, she got cut a long story short, got a recording contract, and she was under the name of Cindy Dickinson then, which was a maiden name. And
Were you married when you came out?
We only got married here in South Africa.
Okay.
So she had numerous hits under Cindy Dickinson. And then she got approached by two guys who'd put a thing together called People Like Us.
I remember that.
Yeah, we've got it on the system, which was high energy music, yeah. Deliverance and Midnight Lover and all those songs. And that just skyrocketed. I mean, so much so that she toured the UK and America.
Wow.
And that's how big she was.
How did you cope with that? Because, you know, you've got two egos now. I mean, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
Showbiz couples often, you know, it's like two stars in the firmament. Two stars collide and explode.
It was difficult because we were both flying in those days. And we did split. We had a split for almost 12 months.
Oh.
So in that regard, after a year, you either get back together and sort of like, you know, live together happily ever after, or you split, do you know what I mean, forever. Yeah. And we did get back together, but I think it was the pressure of our careers, you know, that's made us box a little bit.
Interesting that. I don't think I could hold together a family and a relationship soon. I have been married for 38 years.
Yeah.
I actually walked away from media completely, and
wow.
It was quite an interesting thing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's it was so difficult, you know, to because the pressure was huge. You know, this is a story about you, not about me. So
no,
I'll get back
it's
into
interesting.
It.
You know, as well. I was in Cape Town, 2015. I went to Cape Town, and we opened a radio station there. A fella called Tony Sanderson approached me and said, you know, we need you. You're going to be a big star. I don't want to be a big star.
He said you're going to be. You were already a radio perspective. You 3,000 people blocking the streets in Durban to see Dave Gazzelli. I mean, hell.
Anyway,
and he had the chutzpah to say that you're going to be a big star on his station in Cape Town.
Exactly. It was called Magic 828, and it was in the day, and then just all fell apart. We won't go into the reasons why. But I was away for 6 years, Dave.
Oh.
Cindy and I were split for six whole years. And again, that was a difficult time because when I came back, it was, okay, put these two people under the same roof again. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So it was difficult. But, you know, we're thriving now.
Yeah.
Of course. But it was hard, to be away. She was still, she was a vocal coach. Reach for the Stars, the company was called. She was teaching kids how to sing. And there was Danny, and there was the dogs, and there was
Danny's
the house.
Your son, who carries the Gazzelli brand into the 21st century and beyond, because he's now a big name on East Coast radio.
He really is.
He was your home for a long time, East Coast. You came into Capital Radio the Capital Radio story is such a lovely one, but sadly the technology that ultimately led to its demise was responsible for it not working as well as it
and
should
SABC,
have.
And SABC, of course.
Well, yeah.
Didn't help.
No. But you managed then to segue onto, was it Radio Port Natal in those days?
It was Radio Port Natal, and I thought, what have I done? There was a fellow called Bill Sharp. He was the boss there. I don't know if you remember him.
I do, yeah.
But anyway, he poached me in 1992. I didn't apply for a job at East Coast, but I saw the writing on the wall in 1992 for Capital. I knew it was going, you know, one way, south. And they poached me, and I went across there, and I thought, what am I doing here? I was in this dungeon called SABC in Old Fort Road. And, you know, I thought, do I have to speak Afrikaans? Here's a problem. But I didn't, and I did the afternoon drive show, and many years. That's where I started.
Those were horrible studios.
They were terrible.
I was on 5 in Auckland Park, and our studio wasn't bad. It was, you know, it was still the SABC and 2 levels underground with the security.
Yeah.
But it was quite a convenient and convivial sort of space. And occasionally I came to Durban to do, and it had to broadcast from the studios in Durban, which were like, they were like antique compared to what we were.
It was a terrible atmosphere. Everybody was depressed. Nobody smiled.
Yeah. Interesting. The technology has changed tremendously,
wow.
And thank heavens for that, because now one can broadcast from your cell phone if you like. Which is have you done that? Have you segued across to the? I know that you were doing a sort of voice clips for a radio station recently
overseas. Yeah. I mean, it's so easy now that I can record what we call links when I speak in between songs, and then just email them to the person. He then slots them in to the program the other end. I did that for a while with Hot in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Hot 102.7.
That's what I'm referring to, really.
Yeah, yeah. And it worked. It was easy to do.
But
just modern technology is unbelievable.
It's not quite the same as being
live.
I mean, here we are at the Lifestyle Center, and you see folk walking past with this big window on the world, and it is, you can connect. You can connect physically with your audience.
I don't think I'd be working for you now if I was doing recorded stuff. Not at my stage of life. I mean, I love being live. I love what I do here and the interaction I get from people as well.
And talking about which, broadcasting is cool. It's what it is. But you really come alive doing MC work and shows where you are physically on stage and going, doing the full thing. Now, that is, for some people, an absolute nightmare to go out in front of a crowd of thousands and engage as well. How do you
the biggest one I ever did, and Cindy was, she joined a band called Syndicate. I don't know if you remember.
Cindy.
Yeah. And there was a big gig at Ellis Park in 1985, and there was 50,000 people, Dave, in the audience. You might remember that concert. And I was the MC, and I walked out there, and was I nervous? Yeah. But you know...
Were you at the concert?
I was one of the MCs.
Wow!
And I walked out there petrified. But once I opened the microphone, and you know I couldn't see anybody because the lights were on me. Once I opened the microphone, same with radio, believe it or believe it not, even today's show that I start at 3 o'clock, my hands are sort of kind of sweating at just before 3. And I don't want to talk to anybody at 3 minutes to 3. But once I open that microphone, I'm in control because I'm a complete control freak. But some radio DJs can't MC, right? At all. Some of them can't. They're good on radio, but they're terrible as an MC.
Yep.
And then in saying that, some are good as an MC and awful on the radio. But anyway.
I wanted to touch on that because a lot of the radio talent and a lot of the guys and girls that you know are not able to actually perform even on radio unless they have taken a little bit of help, you know, substances. How have you managed
to... It's changed, Dave.
But you were never involved in the cocaine and the nonsense to get on air.
Oh, God, no. I was a hooligan to a degree. You know, Kevin Savage, Darren Scott and I, bad boys, we were. And we drank a lot in those days. Since then, I think...
Only in those days.
Well, no, it is. I red wine is my thing now. I think you know that. But in the day, you know, it was J&B, and I'm a heathen because it was J&B and Coke. What a disgusting drink. But you know what the Scotch did to me, Dave? If I was in a bad mood, it had put me in a worse mood, and I'd want to box somebody twice my size. And I realised that it was affecting my mood.
And used to carry a 375 Magnum.
357.
357.
I've still got it.
Hey?
Don't carry it anymore. So just be careful.
The legend. Let's take another little musical interlude. We'll be back. This is one of your...
Oh, I love this.
All-time hits.
It's The Real Thing. Band from Liverpool. The smash hit in 1976. It's called Can't Get By Without You. So, Dave, there was a club in Manchester called Fagin's. And I introduced these oaks in 1978. Hobbits.
You introduced
them. They are the real thing. So you know?
You've met some interesting characters over the years. Who are some of the more interesting ones that you can think of?
Do you mean interesting, or was I in awe of, or, you know, were they entertaining, or was I petrified?
Celebrity, because you have met and worked with some of the biggest stars in the world over your 45 years in radio in South Africa.
And you know, the thing is, I don't sort of flaunt that. I have Mandela as my, on my phone, what do you call it, the profile photograph.
Yeah.
And people say, why don't you change it? And I go, because who would I replace him with? You know, that was an incredible
experience. Maybe me and you together.
That was an incredible experience for me. I mean, you know, some people hit me with, he was a terrorist. Well, okay. But I sat with him for an hour at a gig and had lunch. And he's just the most, was the most well-educated, clever man.
I was very surprised. You know, I was involved in television for a long time. And twice I had to go for a corporate client and film a private moments with him and the heads of this international organization. And on two occasions, I was absolutely, the humility and the sincerity of a man like that. And of course, he had his, there were many detractors. But yes, he was, apart from anything else, he was actually a kind person.
He was, yeah. And
I love that.
Yeah. He was an absolute inspiration for me. Pop stars. Dave, I've met all of them. We talked the other day about this. I think Lionel Richie, one of my favourite meetings ever. His manager had to come backstage. I was going to introduce him and say, Lionel, we're 20 minutes late. I'm having a nice chat here. Hang on. Celine Dion was absolutely amazing. Tina Turner. Stevie Wonder, obviously, you know, was just amazing as well. I was a little bit in awe of him because he's just an absolute living legend. Stevie Wonder.
And then Laura Branigan. We had a little chat with
her. Should we move on from Laura Branigan? She was naughty.
She was cool.
She was naughty. And
did you meet Chris Rea?
No, I didn't. Did you interview him?
Yeah.
We've done the same stuff, Dave. We have over the years. Were you in any awe of any of these pop stars?
Every one of them.
Oh, you've been serious?
Oh, absolutely.
Why was that?
I think you'd be unfeeling if you weren't. I mean, people that have achieved the kind of status and success and the level of credibility in the industry that these icons had done. I mean, it was just awesome. And they all had a presence. I never met a celebrity, a real celebrity, that didn't have an aura that was absolutely... Before they came in the room, almost, you could feel it.
Yeah.
So, yes, I was in awe of almost every one of the big names, but... You know, sadly, and I think it's fair to say, you touched on it, when you have been in the media for a long time and you have these fabulous memories, invariably those memories are tied into and linked to colleagues and friends that you made along the way, some of which were very dear and very close. And how many of those household names have gone and continue to, literally, we're in that zone now, you know?
Dave, it's scary. I've got a big picture on my wall in my bedroom. It's a collector's item, Capital Radio days. And there's 10 people in the picture. 4 of them are dead. And I said, maybe I should take this down, take it off the wall now. I mean, Darren Scott, Manu Padiachi, Kevin Savage, Phil Wright.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
Kevin was one of my closest friends ever. So was Darren as well. Darren hit me hard, really did, because he was young, Dave. Yeah. He was just 60, and he died a horrible death.
Isn't it strange that you want to maybe occasionally ring him up and say, well, how's it going?
It's funny you should say that, because he's still on my WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And I sometimes I don't think he's gone.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Weird. Well...
But we're blessed. You and I, we're blessed.
Dave, we are indeed, and looking forward... One doesn't know what the future holds, but generally speaking, I would imagine that it is pretty much day by day now. You know, are you having a good day today? And that's, I think, how one should live life in the present, not 100%. Shooting forward to what if and 100%. Harking back to tomorrow.
And we talked earlier about if you don't have your health, you have nothing.
Absolutely.
And all these people dying has given me a great perspective in life. Right. Seriously.
And you're still very much, you know, in terms of your brand value, right up there. In fact, you've got a gig coming up shortly.
Oh, yes, we're doing a massive one, and they're advertising on 88FM, which is great. It's called Symphony by the Water, and it is, imagine the scene, Dave, the stage, Gearhouse are doing the sound, so I know it's going to be brilliant. It's right on the water's edge of the Midmar Dam, and he's expecting around about 3,000 people to attend. Can you imagine that scene, especially with sunset?
And you're going to be... The face.
I'm the MC, and along with, is it Linda Sabaya? He's from Ukozi FM. So, yeah, we're going to share the stage together. But I'll be nervous. I will, seriously, when I walk out there. Very, very nervous. Because there's dignitaries there. There was a possibility of Ramaphosa being there. And, you know, you've got to get the protocol right with those kind of gigs. You have. And who you introduce first. Which I think is a load of old nonsense.
But it's wonderful that you're still very much front and centre and getting out there in front of the crowds.
Yeah.
And lovely to have you on air in Bolito, which I think is one of the nicest places in the world, quite frankly, but it's cool.
It is
we
gorgeous.
We have this little bubble, and long may the voice of Dave Gaselli dominate in the afternoons.
But you know what? People love this radio station, Dave. I think you know that. You know, they don't like East Coast. They don't. They treat 88FM as their own because we're kind of watching out for them. And I've had that from many, many, many people. I when everybody's gone home from here, these people walk by and they say, can we come in? And I'm sure. And they come in and we have a chat. And they love the radio station and what we're doing here.
Well, long may that last. And it's been absolutely lovely chatting
to you. It's been great. But it's finished already.
Yeah, time goes by. And we're playing out with one of your all-time greats.
Which one is? Oh, the Queen song. Oh, this. I mean, come on. Hey? Is there anything too much better than this?
I don't think it gets better than this.
Thanks, mate.